Welcome everyone, you are listening to and perhaps watching Calling the Audible. I am Pease Del Reese, joined by my once in a while co-host,
hey, what's
Simon Dagenet.
I'm that bitch.
He hasn't been here in a while. He showed up, he ate, he drooled, he made a mess of our
sets. It's not true. There is absolutely no proof of what you're saying.
There's proof all over the tablecloth beneath you.
Quite literally.
Speaking of beneath us, there is Eagle at Master Control.
Ayo.
He is our producer extraordinaire. He is wonderful producing and even more wonderful as a bottom.
As a what?
As a bottom.
I heard
you need to get more culture.
I need to work on my earring.
That too. Good start to the show, boys. Good start to the show. How was everyone's Halloween?
It's good, man. It's good. I like Halloween. It's one
You're
of my favorite
holidays.
Yeah, I love Halloween. It's my father's birthday, so we're kind of like in between things. And now we have like kids and the family, so...
Does your mom dress up for him?
No. Maybe. I hope not.
I hope so.
That's a creepy thought.
I've seen it. Eagle, how's your Halloween?
I bought candy, I think about 200 pieces, and we had 10 kids show up. So quite literally, I was grabbing just scoops out of my bag and just, here, take it.
Where do you live?
Like, wow, this is the most candy I've ever gotten. I'm like, get out of my face.
Where do you live, Eagle?
Like 8 minutes from the studio.
You should have gone there yesterday.
So Eagle also has a tradition with his girlfriend.
Okay.
That started
Which
mostly
one?
Because of me. So I basically created the relationship.
Okay.
We end up going to La Belle et la Boeuf for Halloween for burgers because that was kind of like one of our first date fish. And he's happened to be there for that first date as well. That's when I dressed up as a wizard.
I was very drunk and belligerent. And she told Eagle that he had terrible taste in friends and he should never see me again.
Is that why she doesn't like you?
Yeah, probably. It's the one night.
That's pretty funny.
But being drunk and belligerent, that's just a part of life here on Calling the Audible. Another thing we do from time to time is we do talk about games. I want to start in Division 3. Grabuge lose to X-Men, but a lot closer than some would have imagined, 21-20. Grabuge able to hang with X-Men with Nicholas Ozichuk at quarterback. What does this say about X-Men? What does it say about Grabuge? What does it say about Alex Campo not playing in this game and yet his team still competing?
The receivers for Grabuge are pretty good, man. Like, the team as itself is spectacular. Alex Campo is not necessarily the best quarterback in division in Tier 3. He has moments. He has a very good arm and he looks good at times, but he also has a lot of mental mistakes and he doesn't check down a lot, which creates a lot of tough situations like third and long and turnovers and stuff like that. So a change he's not necessarily the one position they can't really replace on the team. Mm-hmm. But this is weird for X-Men to consider. They've only won by a point, 21-20. They should be able to put up 35, 40 points more consistently every week.
Do X-Men need to rely on a primary receiver, or are they better served with, as they're doing now, spreading the ball around, whether you see Kevin Bustani, Wade Williams, Swale Brohi? No one's really like a number one guy. Do they need to make someone a number one guy? Does someone need to be step up to be a number one guy? Or does this work? And how will this play out in the next round?
I think this could work as long as they use their schemes properly. Like, if you have a number one guy, but he attracts too much coverage and you keep forcing him the ball, sometimes that doesn't work. To be able to have that approach where nobody's really that number one guy, it's good. But in this situation, one of the main problems is if he doesn't have a go-to guy on key downs, it could hurt you.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that schemes are important. Scheming is one of the most important parts of playing quarterback. But at some point, it will happen in each game where you need someone to win a matchup. You've had, for seasons, you've had Justin Blanchard, for example.
Yep.
I've had Will Power. Like, these guys who are just sort of guys who win the ball, you know?
Yeah.
And it seems as though, do you think X-Men has that guy on the roster?
I think they do. I think a guy like Kevin Bustani could definitely be that guy in this.
I disagree.
In this division. If you have a tough down to win, I think he runs one of the best comeback routes there is, mm-hmm. as long as you place it properly. And I think they have that chemistry together. Do they use that route together? I don't think so. I haven't seen him run it.
They don't
with
really run
team.
Timing routes. They run a lot of crosses and
so
runs,
it's something that could work. But if the quarterback's not comfortable doing it, then don't try it.
To me, Kevin Bustani is not that guy. To me, he's a great guy who fits well within almost any system. He'll work. He'll be productive. To me, the guy is Sueil Brohi. People forgot Sueil Brohi was the number one receiver in FPF for a while.
Yes.
He's a guy who wins balls
downfield. Yeah, he's very good.
He wins balls on hooks. He's a guy where if you throw the ball towards him, it's safe.
Agreed.
He'll contest. If it's poorly thrown, he'll contest it and knock it down. If it's well thrown, nobody's getting the ball away from him.
That's fair. That could be, but I just don't see him winning those like third and 15 sort of plays, right? Like that, it's one of those key downs that you took a sack, like you had a short gain, you took a sack, you're down third and 15, and your drive depends on this player. Right? Even if you get like 10 yards, you're still looking at fourth and five, which isn't necessarily the easiest position to be in. So you need a receiver that's able to win a matchup one on one at 15 yards, and to get there too, you need to be fast enough first of all to get there. And to be able to make a cut there to make the DB miss. Either you're going deep or not, right? I think that's something Kevin Bustani could really do for this offense, but it all depends on how they run their offense as well.
What's the best X-Men Halloween costume?
What do you mean?
Like, what's the best X-Men Halloween
costume? To be a Halloween costume?
Yeah. Also, like, is it sexist? Should we go X-Person? X-People?
No.
X-Peoples?
I would say, like, Charles Xavier, if you're, like, a kid.
And not actually in a wheelchair.
Yeah. Although if you're in a wheelchair, it's also
pretty badass costume, right?
Yeah. Like either way, it's pretty badass. I think as a kid, as an adult, I find it's a bit weird. Yeah. But as a kid, I think it would be a great costume.
I saw on Reddit there was from Logan, the girl. I think her name's Laura, if I'm not mistaken. I saw like a costume of that. That was pretty cool. I liked it.
All right.
What's your go-to?
You guys see?
It's kind of like not the X-Men universe itself, but it kind of is. So.
Our Charles Xavier, Robert Campana. Very trusting Halloween.
Charles Xavier.
He is.
He leads us.
Hmm?
He leads us.
Yeah, he leads us. He reads minds. He gets angry at me, just like Charles Xavier. So he left Bowles out and announced on Facebook and Instagram.
I mean, the picture.
That they're not home.
The picture was smart, right? The whole concept of the picture, if you guys haven't seen it on Facebook, is that Rob yesterday for Halloween wasn't home, but he loves Halloween. It's in his mindset to give candy out to kids. So he plays bowls out, like you said, took a picture of the bowls outside saying, like, sort of a social experiment. I'm not home. Will people steal all the candies at once or will people just take one and whatever? But then you're putting on the internet that you're not home.
See, so this is everyone's, like, concern with this. But you're also putting a sign on your house saying that you're not home.
So,
people are like, oh, you do that on social media? I can't reach to the screen. I'm not that bitch from The Ring.
I was going to say, I don't have his new address since he moved. So I was like, okay, fine. I can't go grab any and everything because that was originally my plan. But yeah, if you're just trick-or-treating, you're like, oh, I can just walk in.
Nobody's here.
There's a greater chance of someone seeing that, like, I'll break in later. I want to drop my kid off at home. Criminals have kids.
A lot of these kids have dads that are, you know, older that could break into your house. Oh, go to the next door. I'll be right back.
Yeah. Oh,
free laptops. What's up, Halloween?
Free FPF tablets.
Yeah, what's up, Halloween?
Seriously. Best bag to bring home ever. A game in the bag was hashtag NR taken on STL. It's a game. So last show, I think you guys all chose, you and Terry chose STL, Eagle?
I chose STL. He chose hashtag NR.
Oh, yeah. I went with hashtag NR. I don't know what you saw. I thought this would be...
I'm also very confused about how STL could have won that matchup, but...
I that's not one I see them winning at all.
No. This is not... Unless... The only way STL could win this game is if they go aggressively on two-point converts and they get a lot of them. Like, they intentionally start with the ball, get two-point converts, and put the pressure back on Corey Picker. Not just to score, but to score 2 points every single time. Right? That could put a lot of pressure, but then you're not playing defense at all.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like... The thing that they can do well is force Corey Packer to make a mistake. But like the only way they're going to win that is if Corey Packer makes mistakes. In this game, 5 incompletions all game. Is that surprising to you considering they have a defense that features Theo and Jamie Ojea, Eddie Lee, even Brett Callender, etc.?
I think it's the whole bowl concept of these games don't really matter sort of thing. Like they're not playing with the full intensity because they know.
You say that, but I know Ashtag and Hart, they came in.
Yeah,
this game.
Yeah, but
they don't play less than 100%.
Maybe STL did.
Yeah.
Right? Fair. Maybe ESTL decided, you know what, this game.
But you, we'll if take you a see that, back. So like, here's the thing that I have trouble believing, because people will say that, but I know the competitors on ESTL, and when you see the other team being competitive, it's hard to be like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, up to an extent, I think that if NR took a strong lead early, like 14, 15 points, like a good two score lead, there's a chance that some of these guys stopped. Like, they'll still make individual efforts, but they won't really care about the game as a whole. Right? Like, I won't get beat, but I don't really care if you do, mm-hmm. sort of thing. And that's terrible for a team, because sure, you're playing well, but nobody, like, you're not splitting the things between yourselves, and there's going to be mistakes depending on who's covering what zones. And at the end of the day, it's finger pointing. I play well, you didn't. It's your fault. And that's not very good.
The Simo Dagené approach to analysis.
Yes.
The
finger pointing or the blaming the other people?
Yes. So was the greatest sweepstakes of all time the who plays keyboard Lockstars stakes, sweepstakes?
I mean,
I just keep saying stake.
I mean, what's worse, playing keyboard Lockstars or Conspiracy?
Playing Conspiracy is much worse.
So, by losing STL at the better matchup,
it's a strategy.
You think that went into it? You think
because now STL is playing Conspiracy, right? Mm-hmm. As the fourth seed. So, because they lost, they're playing Conspiracy.
Yeah.
And because Ashton R1, they're playing keyboard Lockstars.
That's what I'm saying. So,
now, again, I'm not sure about the records.
This game, though.
But if that's what this game determined, then you're saying that you're better off playing Conspiracy.
No, I'm saying it's the opposite.
There you go. So STL lost on purpose.
Well, no, I'm saying.
And it got them into a tougher situation.
So, do you not know how sweepstakes work? You have to win the sweepstakes.
Yes, so but
they won the right to play. How's he not understanding?
He's thinking
this?
like NHL draft lottery, where like the poorer you do, the better.
No, but like in my opinion, like Conspiracy is the type of team where it's going to be a race to 50, right? Like that's what it's going to be. Yeah. You're going to score, they're going to score. Whoever's has the ball last wins.
Mm-hmm. Keyboard Lock, smiling because I know he doesn't know what we're talking about.
No,
go ahead.
But Keyboard Lockstars is a completely different matchup.
Yes,
right? It's a good team that you could beat like a normal team. You won't beat Conspiracy by just playing defense properly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dan's going to score every single time. Now, the only thing is Rob Mastrup going to be the quarterback for Keeper Lockstars or not? If he is, that's a tougher matchup. But if he's not, I would rather play Keeper than Conspiracy.
That's the thing we've been saying. You're arguing on a thing that no one's saying.
But then
won the sweepstakes, but if and Rod the higher seed, they play Keyport Lockstars in hashtag NR.
But if Rod plays,
I don't believe he is.
I don't want to play Keyport Lockstars at all. So by winning.
That said, Terry brought up a good point last week, and filling in for you, that if you start shuffling the roster from Keyport Lockstars, they're not as strong because you lose your best red zone receiver in Rod Mashtub. You lose.
Yeah, but then you
Jadaridi. Isn't as good at slot as he is at snapper.
Fair.
So you gain a quarterback, but he has less weapons.
Yes, but it's such a big gain at quarterback that it overcomes those. Like Rob makes every receiver better, regardless who he's playing with. So by making those receivers better, you're better off with Rod at quarterback at any given time. Now, considering this team, I don't think they're going to do it.
You're never going to admit that you misunderstood the question, though, right?
Well, no, I never do.
Zero.
Ever.
Like, there's no way I can get
not even
to do
one
that.
Time. I think I did one time.
Hashtag NR finished with a 6-2 record and a -1/-. How does that happen given this traditionally strong defensive team?
Wait, say that again.
It's a math problem.
Yes, but I was.
Two trains leave the station, and one train is hashtag NR and they finish at 6-2, and the other train is still the same train, but a -1/-.
Oh, okay.
How many apples do you have?
I didn't hear what the record was. That was the only question I had. It's weird to me that they're not playing defense. Like, they're not stopping their opponents that well. Like, they played STL and they only won by 7. And they allowed 38. Like, Ashton R has been a defensive team for a very long time. I think having core pickers sort of changes that a little bit. They know their offense is now their strongest part. Okay. You're just agreeing that whatever going. I think
no, we're waiting for you to finish your sentence. You and point. You're staring
up. Like, I know you haven't been in the show in like 6 months, but like, you're clearly rusty because you're just talking with no direction.
No. I was expecting for you to say the word I was looking for. But now that they have Corey, I think their defense doesn't need to be that dominant anymore. They just need one stop. Corey doesn't make a lot of mistakes. They only need one stop, which they get most of the time. If they get that one stop, then it's just a matter of scoring every drive to maintain their lead. So they don't play with the intent of keeping teams to 14 points anymore because they can rely on their offense now.
So you thought that we had the kind of relationship where we finished each other's...
Words?
I was going to say sandwiches.
There
we go. Eagle and I have the relationship.
We don't finish it. We order each sandwiches.
Well, then how do we
both
do...
get one? There you go.
How do we do the... what's that called? The movie? The two dogs that love each other?
Yes. The spaghetti thing.
Marley and me.
No.
You'll
come to me.
What's wrong with you?
Finding Nemo.
Lady and the Tramp. How do we do the Lady and the Tramp spaghetti
Finding scene? Nemo with the dogs.
The two dogs love each other. Finding Nemo. I feel like Eagle missed the point of that movie.
The dogs and Finding Nemo.
Have you guys watched any of the new Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
I have not, but I kind of want to. Is it good?
So... I have like an admission to make. When I was in college and getting ready to go out on like a Friday night or whatever, there would always be Sabrina Teenage Witch on, like back to back, like reruns or whatever.
Okay.
And I would watch them as I was getting ready, and it was a nice, fun, lighthearted show. And like Natalia watched it at a very different stage of her life, but now we've reached a point where age is not an issue. But so like we were super excited to watch it together because it's like light, fluffy, fun, whatever. This is not that.
That's yeah, exactly. It's
it is
not the same.
Very dark. It's okay.
It's dark, really?
Yeah, like insanely dark. Like these characters will die off very early on.
Oh.
In the show, it's okay. It's fine. It's as heavy as Riverdale without the stupidity of being Riverdale.
Isn't it written by the same guy as Riverdale?
Well, it's the same showrunners. It's not the same.
They're running out of concept. Like the guy has one concept. He's just milking it as much as he can.
Well, it's no. What's his name?
Flash
the guy who did
is
OC?
Not the same concept. What?
The guy who did the OC? I can't remember his name. He also did Chuck. It's the same drama type of shows everywhere.
Yeah.
Network television. Now on Netflix.
now on Netflix. No, but the thing is, it doesn't feel like a network show. Because everything is very much related to that central plot, and you don't have to. Instead of 26
Josh
shows
Schwartz
of filler,
who I'm thinking of,
it's 13 shows of direct content. What?
Josh Schwartz is who I'm thinking of.
Yes,
you still get fillers though on the Netflix original shows.
There's not much though. There's not much. Like
there's,
this goes
there's
from
less.
This goes literally like day after day, leading to the events that.
But if you look
season.
At like Riverdale, there is an episode
but
every
that's,
week.
That's different because that runs on the CW though.
Yeah,
this is only Netflix.
Because they do it on Netflix, but they. They have that like weekly release, whatever.
Yeah.
So it does feel like there's.
But this is more like, for example, a series of unfortunate events, where
yeah,
it's 13
yeah, yeah.
episodes released all at once. So it's different. It's not. I know what you mean because they have some shows that are both network TV and Netflix. But I digress.
I was just gonna say from the Netflix original stuff. I mean, to Simon's point, there is some garbage on there that's like kind of the fluff or the filler, but not at this budget. Like it's like okay,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just get it done like indie style, but you know, like yeah, exactly. Unfortunate Events, Stranger Things, Orange is New Black.
It was weird to not have Stranger Things for Halloween.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's coming out next.
Well, they had like a teaser or something, but that was about it.
Yeah,
so.
But it's not the same.
McDo. In the battle of food poisoning, McDo beats raw sauce,
nice.
22-16. When was the last time you eat McDonald's frequently or?
Well, not frequently, but
occasionally.
Yes. Occasionally, yes.
I was talking to Mike O'Donnell about this recently. The last time I had McDonald's was 4 years ago, and I was blackout drunk.
Man,
it was the first time I had it in a decade.
Okay.
And like, I couldn't understand why I was so sick in the morning. And then Mike was like, "Yeah, at McDonald's, you were like yelling in the drive-through line." I don't even think we had a car.
I always had the same feeling when I had McDonald's, which is you eat half the Big Mac and then you start feeling terrible about your life decisions.
Yeah.
Well, that's why
it tastes like regret.
Yes.
And exactly. Mayonnaise.
And yeah, that second half is just like
a lot of mayonnaise. That's why you have either
I bought it.
You have nuggets, man.
Yeah.
Or like juniors, those are fine. But
so raw sauce can't win without William Plante, as it seems. Alexandre
Lario. To be fair.
Yeah, I know. Which, I mean, he's the quarterback, defensive captain, whatever. But Alexandre Lario did he did okay. But it's wasted game and wasted performance. Rusher Simon Burrell gets 3 sacks in this game.
Yeah, Simon Burrell's a good rusher that doesn't necessarily get the same amount of credit that he should just because the way, like, McDo doesn't score a lot of points and they're playing these greedy games. But it's tough to sub in as a quarterback in lower divisions without a lot of FPF experience. Even when you have a lot of experience, if we put an Eagle as a quarterback for a game, mm-hmm. it would be terrible.
Yeah, it would be terrible.
You can't throw more than 5 yards away, and the rusher would destroy you.
The whole playbook is just 5 yards?
Yeah, and everyone jumps the first read.
Yeah.
And you throw a lot of pick
That's
sixes.
Exactly why you would lose. No, but seriously, there's...
Well, I noticed, like, for example, when I subbed last year after an injury when Will Power missed the game, mm-hmm. like, there was just little things that I was used to, like, I took for granted that like, for example, I was telling Eagle, like, when you forget that you need to read the backside before you throw a post, and then they bait it by waiting on the backside, and literally you're throwing it in their chest. Little things. And that's the thing, like, again, like, Alexandre, you don't know that. You don't know what it looks like when a DB is closing in on your hook, what it's like when the guy's coming across the middle of the field and you throw behind him. You know,
you don't know until you actually make that mistake. Mm-hmm. And
know why you're making a mistake.
When you make that mistake, usually you're losing the game.
Yeah.
So you say wasted performance. I disagree. I think that it's actually like a very good, like the rusher played well enough to, they only won by 6 points. Like it's not like McDougal short in 40-0. So I think there's a lot of credit goes to Samuel Burrard for putting a lot of pressure on the new quarterback that was sort of struggling.
4 picks.
Yeah, 4 picks, man. Those could also be based on the rusher. A lot of times a new quarterback will just discard the ball instead of waiting it out or taking it aside.
Double check this for me. Samuel Burrell is the rusher for Rossos, is he not?
Yeah.
Interesting.
See, what was breaking it down? Interesting. So he's the rusher for McDo. So, like, how was Croatia? How good. Much Alzheimer's did you drink?
Very good. Too good. I should have stayed there more time.
Dom Leffert looked like the best option for McDo this season at quarterback, but he only played one game. It's the only game where really the McDo offense looked the part.
But that's Notice a small sample size. Now.
Between Philippe DiCinzio and Etienne Cardinal, who's the best option for McDo in the next round?
Can you use both? Like, differently?
How would you use both differently?
So, in lower divisions, usually having either, like, not a running back, because that's terrible, but having a guy that drops back sometimes mm-hmm. could catch a defense off guard. Even if it's first down, or I wouldn't necessarily use it on first down, but... On key
Short
downs,
distances.
A lot of times the defenses are not ready to have a guy drop back as a second quarterback, for instance. Or you could just throw a pass to him and then he could throw it downfield for you. This is something that lower division teams could use to their advantage if you have two guys that are able to throw the ball well. Is if you have one of the two guys take the actual snaps and the other guy drops back every now and then, like 5 times during the game, not very often. If you catch a defense off guard and nobody's rushing him, then he has all day to throw. And then if there's only one rusher, you could just pass between each other until somebody's open. And it could break a play open where you have like a second and 15 and you're able to convert easily. So having two guys that you know are able to play quarterback properly could be used to your advantage. I think it's just a matter of how they decide to go at it and how... Like also, who's more comfortable playing receiver, who's more comfortable playing with each other and stuff like that.
Okay, so you would suggest... Given that they don't have a dominant guy going with
I'd say
the option of having
I would
two.
Give both guys a shot differently. Not necessarily keep one guy as a quarterback because I don't believe in using two quarterbacks in the same game. But that doesn't mean the other guy's not able to throw those 20-yard bombs mm-hmm. on like a 2nd and 10 sort of thing.
Simon was calling an RPO in FPF.
Yeah. I was thinking about that recently. What the evolution of the RPO is going to be in FPF.
In FPF or in football?
In FPF.
Well, I mean...
I already have a play concept. I want to go through it with you later.
I mean, technically, we could do it because you could technically have a running back and you watch where the rusher goes and you hold the ball or you give it to him. But, I mean, Brocasian has tried it before and it doesn't work well.
No. No. But I was thinking, this is a conversation for another day, but rather than run pass option, you go slant drag option. And make one defender choose between two. If you can get rid of the ball quickly, if you have a good snapper and a quick release.
Yeah, it's good if you run it.
And you're just making a read literally on one guy.
Yeah.
Because the thing with RPO is you're making a read on one player, right?
Yeah.
So if you hold the ball and you're seeing, are they breaking so that I can throw the slant over the linebacker's head?
Yeah.
Or is the linebacker staying home and we have an advantage in the running game? So same kind of thing is I'm looking at that flat defender. the flat defender, is he reacting to the drag or is he releasing to the hole so I can now attack that window? Or is he leaving with the slant, with the drag, and I hit the slant behind him?
But the problem with that is that neither of us has a quick enough release.
Oh, I'm not saying we're the guys.
Like, by the time you get the ball from the shotgun position and you're able to throw that ball, you already made that read, move twice. Right? Like, the, realistically, by the time you catch the snap and you're ready to release, and you actually release the ball.
Who is the quickest release in FF?
Wyatt. Kevin Wyatt has a pretty fast release.
But because the triple slant is all based around the fact that nobody can cover it because of how quickly the ball gets.
Yeah, he gets his ball.
But let's not go
really
let's not go Div 1. Let's go like middle divisions, 4-3.
That's a good question.
Quickest release you've seen.
Daniel Golov has a quick release.
He does.
When he actually plants and wants to release fast. So on these like sideline hooks and slants, he has a very fast release and the ball comes in like a bullet.
I would say Frank K, Stephen Harpersod on those quick slants that you literally
I was playing against Stephen Harpersod at primetime. And the Alexis Dubois was a scorekeeper and he said, "Does he ever get the laces?" And I was explaining like there's a technique where you kind of anchor your thumb around the backside of the ball. You showed me this actually, is how much more important the backside of the ball is to holding it than your laces.
It's not accurate anymore, but Kevin Wyatt's previous ball they used for like 2011 to like last season.
Not the white one?
Add a space for his thumb on both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. You could see like a thumb print pat right through to like the, it's not the letter, but the... Yeah, the letter of the ball.
Yes, letter, yes.
It was pretty good.
What's
on both sides.
What's wrong with you tonight, man?
I don't know, man.
Words are hard.
Like, I love you.
Also, his hearing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Communication is hard.
Yeah, and Frank is an interesting one, too, because, like, he neutralized Isaiah Lord as a rusher just by having his ridiculous...
He moved him into coverage because he was so useless.
Yeah.
Frank K holds the ball at a certain angle that he's ready to release right away.
Yeah.
It's the way he positions the ball as a quarterback that
So the thing is, and I keep unveiling FPF secrets, but you know where Frank K is throwing because as he gets a snap, he positions his feet.
Yes.
So if you're a DB on that side, you can read his feet and make a break. Yep. We've won games where I've told my DBs to break on his feet. And the problem with that is because he positions his feet that way before, like it's hard for him to get to the next read. Because he's so ready to get rid of the ball.
Yeah.
Because he's so good at reading pre-snap. He's so good at reacting, like, and throwing it on the break. That what's hard is if you get to the break first and he sees you, he then has to reposition his feet, and that's not his strength.
It's something that he doesn't do often, so he doesn't need to practice much. And considering all his injuries to, like, his Achilles, it's not something that he necessarily wants to do, right? Mm-hmm. Shuffling around is not great for your Achilles.
No, not at all. The worst drug dealers in history have to be the government-run SQDC.
It's so bad. I left. Drug was not legal. I came back. Drug was legal. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was in a different country. Well, but it's bad, though.
So it's already been legal. It's now been legalized to sell.
Yeah, okay.
Because before it was decriminalized, you could smoke it. You just couldn't buy it anywhere.
You just couldn't get it.
So, like, I always found it to be one of the most interesting laws. Like, oh, you can have it, but...
You could smoke it.
You could smoke it.
But where did you get it?
But it doesn't matter. They can't... Because it's... If you have only...
That's the bizarre thing. You're not allowed to get it, but if you have it, as long as you don't have a lot...
Yeah, it's okay. So don't buy wholesale.
So what now, like
Costco?
So what now? If you have like a
what now is
a pound,
we need to open a weed farm because they're looking.
Oh, yeah.
They're looking at buying,
but you know,
from small local suppliers.
But you know, like you.
So if these people are not supplying to the government, who are they supplying to? This whole thing is confusing to me.
Yeah, if you
just imagine you open up a farm and the government's like, no thanks. What do you do?
We both know what you're gonna do.
Well, and like, you know something about government bidding, you know that's gonna happen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
what
yeah.
do these guys do now? Sell to children.
Hey kid.
Yes.
You want some candy?
Hey kid, you want some
pot? Hey kid, want some government?
But yeah, to get those licenses, I heard it's like an 18-month like period to get the license to actually sell to SQDC. So you buy the land, then you apply for a lease, the license and then you wait for
it's too late. You have to have done it last year.
But as a business, you buy the land and then you have to wait 18 months before you could actually produce anything that you could sell to pay for the land.
No, they'll just do potatoes or something in the meantime.
Or apples or some shit.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
They grow in the ground, but also on trees.
Mind blowing.
But also.
Two-tiered farming. Subterranean and terranean.
There's so a common factor in there.
You're so smart.
Here's the thing, though, that like another thing that makes no sense to me is they knew for 2 years this was going to happen, right?
Nobody's ready.
They knew they're going to need supplies. They had a census about how many people they expected to buy. They knew it was going to be big because they announced before they opened that they expected to run out of supply.
Yeah.
They only opened 3 stores and have signs up where they're opening stores in the future. Why don't they just open everything? Like, don't you like money? I don't get it. I know this province likes money.
It doesn't like money that much.
Also, I was talking to someone at the SAQ near my place, the sommelier that was there, and I was saying about how it's interesting how they're not selling out of the SAQ. It's like, oh yeah, but it's a different thing. They have different workers, different union. So yeah, I know. I thought it would have been logical because it already sells controlled substances. It's like, I also like a place like us, like we're too close to the school. I'm like, but you sell alcohol.
It's already 18 years or older.
What's the difference?
And it's not like you don't have the room.
Yeah.
Or the employees.
But like, I thought that what's the difference?
But I thought that's what it was supposed to be before.
It was initially. They changed it.
Actually, Pease, you're going to love this story. I'm not sure if you've heard about it, but there was a craft beer that found a way to have like flavored of marijuana and everything in their beer. And so part of their old regulations was that they needed to specifically label the ingredients or the flavors and everything. So they were like, okay, well, cannabis flavored, whatever. They had the leaf. And then when this new regulation came out, the regulation says you can't advertise any of it. So now they, by one law, need to specify that they have the cannabis flavor in it. And by another law, they can't specify that there's cannabis in it. So they're like, what do I do?
can't you like get it trademarked as the name cannabis beer?
No. No, you're not allowed to trademark it.
Really?
Yeah. Jeez. You can't even sell those shirts anymore. Like nothing.
Cannabis beer?
So like if you had a shirt already. So let's see.
Done. Nope. Gotta get rid of it.
I know.
Burn it down.
We're getting so off topic. We'll get back on topic in a second, I promise. Natalia pointed out, I was talking to my neighbor who's like 70 years old.
Okay.
And we're talking outside about like stuff with that. Because I live in a semi-detached house, so we share, you know, part of the building. Mm-hmm. And so we're talking and Natalia starts laughing. And I go back, I said, what are you laughing about? She says, well, it's just funny because like, he's retired in 70 and, you know, you're getting up there and like we're going to have kids at some point. And like I just imagine our kid looking out and seeing him wearing his Bob Marley t-shirt and you wearing your Biggie Smalls t-shirt. It was an interesting just to put exposition.
Yeah, you know, Molson bought, like they're moving from the corrupted East End land that they have that they can't use anymore to the new Longueuil/St. Sébastien facility. And they announced that they're going to do some marijuana-infused alcohol.
But they're allowed.
Yeah, it's a different. They're not allowed, they're not allowed to do it where they are right now because their license doesn't allow them to. But since they're buying a new place, then they're getting the license to do it there. So essentially everybody has to renew their license to do that. But, I mean, it's not like we didn't know it was coming.
Yeah. I know, but to me, like, cannabis and alcohol is basically a coma. So, it's not an appealing product to me at all.
There was this can called Fucked Up for a while. That's pretty much energy drink and alcohol that got everybody, you know, what, fucked up. So, how different is it, really?
Yeah. It was known to be remarkably unsafe. Unsafe is how I would describe the Bulldog season.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Neither did I when I started the sentence. I just looked down and said, pick a game. Bulldogs go down as the only winless team this fall. Where did we as FPF go wrong with the placing of Bulldogs?
I don't know. I'm also very confused about this. Like, I didn't expect any winless team. Mm-hmm. I also didn't really expect any like undefeated teams. The way everything shook up. But you know who went undefeated, right? You know who went undefeated?
Junkie. I mean,
yes, but
it wasn't a perfect season.
It was.
No,
for them.
They tied. A tie is not perfection.
Listen,
for Junkie, and then it looks like perfection.
Listen, for Junkie, it's a world above where they were recently. So we'll take it. But I don't know. I think that it sucks to go winless, and I hope nobody goes winless. But they also, like, there were some close games, right? Like, it's not like they were blown out 40-0 every week. So we were wrong, well, wrong where we placed them, but at the same time, they were competitive in certain games. So I would say that we were half wrong only.
So, but where did we go wrong? Not the percentage of wrong.
But the way we ranked it is based on what roster you submit. Mm-hmm. Right, like, we didn't rank you guys. It's not like last season.
So what's the flaw in our rating system that allowed them to fit into tier three and get slaughtered?
But hold on. So they were ranked 34th.
Mm-hmm.
Only below them in tier three were Supernovas and Unknown Talent.
Okay,
and unknown talent were there.
Was literally unknown.
They were quite literally unknown. They could have been tier four easily.
But
right?
You looked at the roster of Supernovas for the season. You looked at the roster of Bulldogs. You mean to tell me you thought Supernova was a worse team than Bulldogs?
I mean, they did finish like 2-3-3. Like, it's not great.
So here's my question. Three losses. Is Supernovas more a 5-win team or more a 6-loss team? Like, you know, because a tie could have gone either way, right?
I really don't know, because every week was a complete surprise. Some weeks, Fergenbaum had great timing with his receivers and put up great points. Other times, it was just a disaster. And I don't know if it's because Benji Ziegler or the rest of his receivers weren't there that week or exactly what. But yeah, like, they flew under the radar some weeks because we're like, oh yeah, they had a good week. We should talk about the next week. And then next week,
then
they were irrelevant.
They got blown out.
Like, yeah, and you're like, oh, we're not talking about this game. So I don't know.
Get off my show sheet.
I feel like the 2-3-3 concept fits them. They're great some weeks, bad others, and they tie a bunch of games.
Yeah, I feel like
that's on their CV.
I feel like they're like a 500 team. That's the way, like, they're a 4-4 team. They were games where they play well, there were games where they didn't. And it's a perfect 500 season. Like, the way I picture 500 season is there's a lot of games that didn't go your way that you play terribly, and there's some games where you looked much better than others, and you finish pretty much in the middle there with like a 4-4 record.
Yeah, keep in mind, you're gonna win games you should have lost, and you're gonna lose games you should have won. Right, so this is kind of them.
So for Bulldogs, Evan Schwartz was often looked to as the go-to guy on the Bulldogs, but is he more of a complimentary piece than a true number one?
I think it's because we're so used to him playing with like the White brothers and some other guys that when you used to play with the U, that we're not used to seeing him as a number one guy. Mm-hmm. I also feel like,
but right now he's the number one guy on a 0-1 team.
I feel like tier three is also deeper than we expected, and they ended up facing tougher competitions.
That is very true.
So it could be a number one, just maybe not in this division or against these sort of teams. If they would have been in tier four, the conversation might have been completely different.
Yeah, completely agree. I find tier two and tier three were very competitive. Tier one, you kind of saw the distinction between the upper and lower teams. Two and three was very tricky to find where that line was, and then four was a little bit more obvious.
Yeah. 4-1 felt like, you know, it's tough to really draw a line and say these are.
I find for two and three, the biggest thing was that there's a clear distinction between the best teams and the worst teams in the division.
But so are
and
they?
Then a glut in the middle.
The difference between tier the best one and the worst four, wasn't right? All that. Like, think about it this way: if you look in tier one, the best team and the worst team, night and day. If you look at tier two. Okay, yeah, there's a
Diablo Junkyard Dogs and then like Pigeon Squad, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
But you can look at that game and go, well, yeah, it was, you know, a one score difference. And you look at, you know, Braves versus Sweat and Beers, and it's 60-0.
Yeah,
right?
It's not the same kind of beatdown.
Yeah.
Put like Kevin Wyatt against my team. Like, we're not going to, it's not even going to be close.
Did you guys play them?
No.
How much did you pay Rob for that?
No, I didn't. I would actually rather play Kevin Wyatt than Braves. Just because of the defensive perspective, I would look better against Kevin White. They would still put up 70, but at least I would put up like 18.
You know, you could slow down the
Braves
game.
I'm pretty sure I wouldn't score. So.
Yeah, also that. We teased it a little bit. Junkyard Dogs beat Pigeon Squad. Literally the game I described, 38-25. That's perhaps the least surprising outcome of the season.
Oh, listen. When I left for Croatia, Junkyard Dogs was not playing well. There was a lot of problems within the team, a lot of complaining, and they were getting murdered by teams that they should have beat. And I came back, and now they're good again.
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
Well,
they won.
Oh, thanks, Eags.
They won games. In this game particularly, I think what happens is Pigeon Squad doesn't have the defense. Like, Jared Buck will find ways to compete. And
yeah.
He's a decent enough quarterback. But Pigeon Squad don't have the defenders to deal with Junkyard Dogs. And like, it's not like they've been great even when, like, even when you left, like, you left, you're like, oh, well, they got better. They just squeaked by Greendale Human Beings, who haven't been good. They squeaked by, again, these are all one-score games. Mean Machine, 33-27. And again, Mean Machine hasn't been playing well. And, like, they beat Diablos, which is the feather in their cap, right? So, like, since the Diablos game, we were like, oh, okay, Junkyard Dogs, back, cool. They've been good.
Junkyard Dogs are the reverse lockdown.
The reverse lockdown?
Yeah, because they're winning games by one score or less. Lockdown is losing games by one score or less.
I thought you meant the sexual position.
No.
The reverse lockdown. Yeah. Nice. Ryan Vanslit. Ryan Vanslit, perhaps the acquisition of the season for Pigeon Squad.
He's a good player of mine.
12 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. 12 touchdowns in 7 games. Not 7 receptions. That's someone else. That's another question for another
game.
He was probably the best acquisition for any team. Yeah. Will it matter? Is it enough for Pigeon Squad next round?
I don't think so. I think he's what Pigeon Squad needs as a receiver. They need that kind of guy for them, and that's what Jared Buck, the way he runs his offense, he needs a guy like that. And to get a guy like that here in the fall season makes me very hopeful about Pigeon Squad in the winter. Mm-hmm. So in their following season, if he keeps around, it's something they could build on, and it's something that they could build around. For this season, I think they're in too deep. I think Pigeon Squad is just one of those teams that's misplaced. Their rating sort of fell apart, and they have a very high rating for where they're currently is, and they're facing teams that wouldn't be in their own division anymore.
Yeah.
Right, it's like if you take a Division 5 team and you make them play in the playoffs against Division 4 at some point.
Yeah. Well, that's what I meant by the disparity. We're seeing Division 5 teams against Division 3 teams.
Division 6 teams, borderline 6, playing against some Division 4 teams. It's that's one of the main things about the Tier 2 that I found when I looked at the roster initially was the gap in the middle of the pack is tough. Right, because you're going to be a middle of the pack team, but you're going to play against teams that are much better than you are. Whereas if you're in like Tier 1, for instance, when you're a middle of the pack team like STL or Noregard, STL Noregard playing against Braves or Kevin White, it's not that bad.
Yeah,
right.
It's competitive.
Or Tier 4, same thing. And number 6 against number 1, it's not that bad. But in Tier 2, number 6 against number 1
from one of the middle of the pack teams, one speed power. We felt like we had no chance against Diablos. We felt like we had no chance against Le'Veon. You know, and those were the two far and ahead of the best teams.
And to me, that's the main concern. It's not 1 against 12. It's 1 against 6 or 2 against 7 or things like that. If there's that much disparity between games that are going to happen on the schedule and it could happen in the playoffs, that's one of the reasons why winter we have more teams and more divisions. It's to spread teams around more. When we only have 48 teams, we couldn't have 8 divisions, right?
Blake Butler had a 61.5% touchdown percentage. In that 61% of his catches went for touchdowns this season, but he only had 13 catches. So if there's 13 catches, 8 were touchdowns. Did they need to get him the ball more? Or do they need to get him the ball more? Or and tied into that, I feel like Junkyard Dogs have specific receivers who do specific things. Is their offense too predictable for that reason?
Maybe. I think it's also Junkyard Dogs also sort of a mashup of guys together. Like they had a very strong roster in the spring. They lost a lot of key players to that. There were guys that were supposed to be on that roster right up coming into the season and sort of bailed out a few weeks before the season. So you sort of make these acquisitions and you're trying to find how to play with guys in a season. It's tough so you're trying to learn who runs what well and how to use receivers, but you're also trying to win. So for a guy like Rossi who's trying to learn how to use receivers, you find something that works and you just keep going back to it because that's how you use this guy. You want to keep him happy too. Mm-hmm. At the end of the season, if there's a receiver that gets 0 catches, it sucks to be him, right? So he's trying to spread the ball, and that's the way that he finds is I need to be efficient, I need to score, but I also need to spread the ball to guys I've never played with before. It's a tough situation to be in.
And also, just looking at this roster, Jordan Rossi is not on it, right? Mm-hmm. And you know the brother relationship was something that used to carry the teams before. And whether it was Jordan throwing to Jason or Jason throwing to Jordan, there was always a way to drive the field with the two of them.
But I will say, like, some of the times they kind of lost players along those lines because guys were fed up with not getting the ball because of that connection.
Yeah.
So maybe that speaks to your point.
Maybe also Jordan has been playing hurt for a long time. Maybe they decided to play, take a season off to actually recover and to be back for winter in full strength. That could also be it. But there's also to the fact that when you have that number one guy that gets, you know, 7, 8, 9 targets per game in an FBF where there's only about 25 to go around, it's going to make other people angry, jealous, whatever, right? Like if there's 5 receivers, one gets 9, there's only 16 more to go for the following 4. And that doesn't mean you're going to spread the following 16 targets evenly.
Is Blake Butler the most Madden auto-generated name of all time?
Yes. Blake Butler?
Yeah. Blake Butler. Like, to me, that 100%. Sounds like a 4th-round speed rusher from LSU, as per Madden.
Or a receiver on the Cowboys.
Free Vinny.
Yes.
Hashtag it?
Or no. Free Vinny.
No hashtag?
No, they lost it, no?
Yeah, they did. Terry was giving some bullshit story last week about how it was no bad.
But all Sean Abraham doesn't pay his debts. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Back, Sean. Sorry.
So
I know you missed me.
They can't even tank properly. Everything's going wrong for them this season. I honestly, as a guy who's going to play in the next round for Tier 2, I was like, Jesus Christ, our first game is going to be against Free Vinny, and we're going to lose instantly to Free Vinny. And, yeah. And we're not going to have a chance because we're going to play Free Vinny.
But now Diablos gets to play Free Vinny.
And they'll lose, which is awesome. Which we'll break down in a second, but...
Thanks, guys.
How do you consider their chances now? Because I think we both would agree they probably would have steamrolled the next bracket down, right?
Yeah, I think that if they would have been in the higher bracket, which puts them against like a conspiracy keyboard lock stars, so I don't see them winning that matchup.
But I'm saying, had they gone down to play sort of Junkyard Dogs,
lower,
yeah, because they were almost in that tier. They won a game and now won't be in that tier.
If they would have been in that tier, it would have been boring for everybody involved in that tier.
Yeah.
Right? Like
they should have GM Calethra's throw.
They don't belong.
They qualify for the lower tier.
They put Terry Tam at quarterback.
Terry's not bad.
And then they make Sean snap, so at least you have a good snapper. And then, you know, you can rely on Terry Tam to not suck tremendously.
But you need him to, so that way you go lower, you fall lower.
I know, but... They can't tank properly, but I find like Free Vinny is going to be in the right like.
Yes, they're in the right.
To me, they're supposed to win this year.
Yeah,
considering all the teams that are in this year, I don't see how they could lose these games.
Yeah, François Martin will have a description as to why using his weekly rushing totals.
Oh God!
He highlighted himself again, even despite a crappy game
for like 28 yards. It's just not even like you had a lot of yards.
It's the François Martin report, yeah, written okay. By François Martin.
It's okay.
Does the stat line...
To be fair, you hired him. And keep hiring him every season.
It's a love-hate relationship where mostly I hate him, but I love that he writes for
in French.
Does Vince Nardone's stat line of 12 catches, 87 yards, and 3 touchdowns surprise you, given that he played 6 games?
Yes.
Because?
That's not really what... Like, Vince Nardone doesn't get 12 catches. Vince Nardone's going to get...
He does, actually, with Sean Abram.
5 catches line. For 87 yards and 3 touchdowns. I could see that. 12 catches, I feel like that's a lot. For
really?
Like, Vince is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't... I think that Sean spreads the ball more. I don't see him going to a new guy like that all the time. I could see him go to, like, Jordan Allard for all these catches. There's a lot of weapons on Free Vinny.
Mm-hmm. Which he did, by the way. He has 35 receptions. Kenton Lowe comes in second with 26. And then Terry Tam with 15.
How many did Vince get total?
12.
Nardone? 12.
Oh, I thought it was one game.
No.
Man, that changes things. Ah! Now it makes
even
everything.
Vinny Guilano, you realize only has 9 receptions.
It could have been a stat
game.
Line.
The bulk of this show has been about how terrible you are.
I mean, to
the
be fair.
The script should have just been, be terrible. And you would have done a good job.
I mean, to be fair, 12 catches, 87 yards, and 3 touchdowns could have been a one game stat line. Could have been.
I love how in our production notes, the notes for Simon was literally, wake the up. Follow the production notes.
No, I never read them. Because they're always mean to me.
You could have been more. Do you not see why, though?
I wonder why.
Do you not see why?
I don't. I mean, have you read the notes for UPs?
Yeah.
There you go.
They're exact, though. They're accurate.
This week is, P's, don't have too much sex with yourself.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yes. I tried not to. I failed.
Hey, that makes both of you.
Will Rob Robinson be enough for sweat and beers in the next round?
Okay, so in the next round, they're going to be playing in the lower tier.
Which will break down. In the last 10 minutes of the show.
Because of that, I believe he can. He's going to play against teams that his offense is going to succeed really well in, because guys are not used to having so many close routes and Robbie being able to put the ball in the right spot all the time. When he's playing against guys that are faster than his receivers, he struggles a lot. When his receivers are able to win one-on-one matchups when he needs them to, which is like four or five times during a game alone, that's when his offense is really good. And I think this is going to be the case, because he's going to have a few guys that are going to win all the matchups for him. And he's going to have the superior team coming into games now.
I don't think he will. I don't think that there's... I think they win clean matchups across the board against any team in the bracket.
They win at least one.
They win at most one. The teams there...
Yeah, but the only...
There's weak. So the teams they're going to face are flawed teams, yes. Right? They're teams with good talent with glaring flaws, mm-hmm. Right? Or else they would have made the higher
yes,
tier.
Yes, 100%.
But that's Sweden Beers. That's exactly what Sweden Beers are. They have some really good high-end talent and then some lacking talent.
So that's what I find, that Robbie's going to be able to use those higher pieces really well to make his team better, mm-hmm. without teams really finding out where the weaker guys are.
Just to add to this for conversation purposes, so Dirty Dogs and Sweatin' Beers are going to be in a tier with currently Junkyard Dogs and One Speed Power, who would be getting buys based off today. That's still changing.
Well, SWAT needs to lose in order for One Speed Power to get a buy. That would be awesome.
It's still up in the air.
Gino, suck the big one.
And then Voodoo and SWAT would basically be the other two. So right now, Sweatin' Beers would be playing Voodoo in that round.
I'm not saying
that's confirmed yet, because there's still the
game. I'm saying tonight. If that's the game, I don't like that matchup for them.
For Sweatin' Beers?
Correct.
I don't like that matchup for Voodoo.
I disagree.
I think that Sweatin' Beers has good receivers that are going to be...
I think there's a greater chance that Voodoo scores 50 points than Sweatin' Beers scores 50 points.
Yep, agree.
I don't think it's gonna come down to 50 points. I think the winner's gonna have like 33.
I don't even think Sweatin' Beers scores 30 in that game.
Really?
Yeah.
I disagree. I think that they have key pieces, like guys like Rocco Cristiano, is a very good receiver, and people know him as a quarterback in FPF for a very long time. But he's a very good receiver that mm-hmm. isn't really
he's
used.
A great athlete.
Yeah. They have now, Akeem Oitz is supposed to leave, so I'm not sure if he's going to be around for the playoffs or not. But they do have guys.
But Akeem Oitz has always been a well-rounded player who doesn't take over games.
100%. But he attracts coverage.
Mm-hmm. Guys are
so a guy like Pat Santamaría is going to have to play against him. Because mm-hmm. if you leave him against a weaker defender, he's going to put up numbers.
Yeah, but there's still... Who else does Rob Robinson target?
Dick?
Okay. Yeah, very good. So very underrated.
So they get first downs.
You could take away the snapper.
Chris Williams also underrated.
So they get first downs. You're not scoring touchdowns with these guys.
Yes, you are. Well, they have been this season.
I mean, yes, but not a lot. Like,
you can't consistently. You could shut down the outsides and then force them to work the inside, and it's going to be difficult.
So you think that even though they're in the lowest tier, they're still...
I think that's
the
tier they should have been in to begin with.
So they're going to be a one and done regardless of who they play.
Yes, I think they're the worst team in that tier.
They were ranked 12th of tier 1. So if there's one team that was going to drop down, it was going to be them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Junkyard Dogs was 13. So just put that in perspective, right? Are they better than Junkyard Dogs?
I don't think they're better than Junkyard Dogs.
But if Junkyard Dogs would have been tier 1, it would have been worse.
No, I think it's about the same. I think they're the same team. And Junkyard Dogs are slightly better. Anyway, we'll get to that in a...
These are always fun conversations.
Yeah.
This is what I like.
We'll know in a
come.
Week.
Yeah.
But... So we'll do some quick fire before we get into breaking down the upcoming games and our quick picks. So rapid fire, some topics we didn't get to touch on, both FPF and non-FPF related. Hugh Jackson can't even fire people properly. He's walking down the hall to fire Todd Haley.
Gets fired instead.
Dorsey comes along, fires him. Oh, Todd Haley, also get your ass out of here. Everyone, get TF out of here.
I think that the whole reason why it happens is because the Browns season was going acceptably well.
He's won two games in three seasons.
Yeah. So he's like, our season is drama-free. We need to make something happen right
Although
now.
Dorsey did fire a guy who's won infinitely more games than he did in the past. So he's been infinitely better than the past 2 years combined.
Yeah. But quite literally.
That's what you want from your boys,
by
right?
Zero.
But at some point, you have to cut your losses. How many games are you going to lose until I fire
you?
That
point was 2 years ago.
That point
Jackson's not a good coach.
It should have been last season.
And Todd Haley's the least likable person.
I wouldn't say that he's a bad coach.
Really? Track record of success. Oakland Raiders. Cleveland Browns. Cool. Tell me about how good he is.
No, he should have been fired before the season. So to give the new coach time. But now he's ruined the season together. And I was like, oh, we're going to bring a new guy in. Hopefully he's going to win a game or two. Are you trying? Maybe they're trying to tank again to get the first overall.
That's what they're doing. At some point, they need to stop that.
I mean, or you could pull the Raiders and just grab all the first round picks.
Trick or treating, you guys get a lot of people?
No.
Yes.
I didn't. I got zero. Also, I didn't decorate because I never get anybody.
Did you open the light?
No.
Oh, there you go.
It was a more intimate evening.
Okay. With yourself. No, yeah, a little bit. We always decorate at my parents' house, so a little bit, but not as much as before. It wasn't a great day. It was like rainy and cold. And
broken ankles, finished 3-5 in tier 3. Does that surprise you?
The record, no. The way they finished, yes.
Matt DeMaul throwing 4 interceptions. What happened to the good Matt DeMaul?
He's playing higher divisions now?
Is it? I think a lot of it has to do with him tearing his ACL and not being as fast.
Well, he did win the brand championship in spring.
Yes.
His first ever championship. I think that...
But I would say that it's a better roster than he has here. In the lower division.
I think it's a fairly similar roster, but now he's playing against tougher competition.
He has so much size with Ducks, dude.
I know.
Throw the ball 10 feet in the air, it's not coverable.
It was crazy. But Ducks were also playing against weaker opponents.
Yes.
So he's just playing at a higher level than what he's comfortable doing.
Vincent Benjamin ends with 15 touchdowns and 7 interceptions in 7 games. His ceiling as an FPF player is Division
2.
Why not 1?
Because...
Because 1's too easy. No, I think he's a very good player. I think if you put him right now in Division 1 or 2, he's gonna have a tough time to adapt.
I disagree. I think we just fall into the gap, like, because we don't know a guy.
No, I know it's not that. It's,
but like, the thing is, I don't think he's a liability.
I think
if he's playing on the finest, he's like, whether or not he's the worst player on the team, he's not a liability on the field.
No, I think that the game's so much faster in the higher division than in his lower division, that he's gonna have like a tough time adjusting right away.
He's not going to put up those stats. No, he's not going to get exposed.
He needs to go up
Division 1
progressively. So, like, a Division 3 team needs to pick him up now.
Would you have said that about that kid from that team? No, I can't remember.
No,
I can't remember anything.
Antoine, no. Antoine was a very good receiver as a speedster, and that's how Finest used him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He wasn't doing crazy things. He wasn't putting up 7 interceptions per season, and they didn't use him on defense. So Vincent Benjamin only plays offense, doesn't play defense no more, and if you move in the higher divisions, and you only use him for his size?
Size and speed. He's also remarkably fast.
He's fast. So that's only how you use him. So he doesn't run any specific routes. He just runs, goes, and hooks and uses his size.
Mm-hmm.
If you use him that way, sure, but you could also do that with a lot of people and still be successful.
Do you have 90 seconds of heat?
I have like 60 seconds of heat.
Is that the recap of your last night?
Ayo. No, it's not. No, I would go with like 60.
What's the general feel of your 60 seconds of heat today? What's the general... If I had to give it one theme, what would it be?
Oh, it's... why are you in public places when you're sick?
That was terrible.
I was hoping it'd be... I was like ready to cue it up. Like, no?
look who's terrible now!
In the 90 seconds of heat with Simon Dagenet, Simon shares his thoughts about... life, FPF, and more in the most unfiltered way possible. It's usually terrible. Stefano Berardi was much better. Let's see if
he did it. I have to watch that podcast.
3, 2, 1.
I'm not.
We don't hear it.
We don't hear anything. Oh, here, there it is. This production's terrible. First thing I'm angry about, this production's terrible. I left for like 4 weeks and you can't get your shit together. My God. You don't even improve after 4 weeks. I hate this show. Also, I took the plane like way too many times to come back and to go to Europe and come back. Why are there people sick in the planes? It's a confined area where you're stuck with other people that you have to pay a lot of money for. So basically, I'm paying like $1,000 to sit around 6 people and hope I don't get sick for 10 hours.
Sounds it's like a rich people problems.
Yeah, it's not. It's terrible. Fix your... Also, Eagle, maybe the airline should hire you because you're so terrible that they won't see any differences.
So they should hire him.
They should hire him.
But if they're already terrible, what's the point of hiring him?
Because Eagle has a better job and then nothing changes.
Okay. Next one.
FPF. I watched some of the podcasts. Apparently, it's too bit difficult to pick teams. Stefano Berardi, Terry Tam. How difficult is it to flip a coin 24 times and get it right? 50% chances, man. Be better.
Technically, GM Clefner took the word.
GM, be better. Everybody. Jesus. You lost the Eagle. He's the worst at picking things of all times.
Really,
have you seen his friends?
I had a conversation with him about that this week.
That should be about 60 seconds. I said 69.
One of his best men had an issue at the bachelor party. He thought like I was very serious when I was talking trash during the flag football game. GM's best man.
Okay.
And then at the wedding, GM's best man went to Duke and told him to stop trying to grab this other guy's balls because he doesn't like being touched, which is the most Duke moment of all time, by the way. If you ever played against my brother, your balls have been grabbed.
Also, just because
you
told him,
been milked.
Because you told him that, he's going to do it more.
Oh, yeah. It's over.
Like, Duke is like a 6-year-old.
He spent the rest of the night just grabbing balls.
Sure. Maybe that's why Vincent Aaron didn't have enough catches.
So we'll go into the bowls, and these are the games that have been decided so far. We'll cover the rest of the games next Thursday, as the playoffs will begin after that, as well as the last couple of games being played tonight. In the Ogea Bowl, number 3 #NR take on Keyport Lockstars. We talked a little bit about it, but how do you think this game goes, Simo?
I think that it's going to be a very difficult matchup for Keyport Lockstars. Even with Rob matched up as a quarterback, #NR is a very complete team.
But they're not
team doing
that.
I know, but even with, like, even if they upgrade their team, I don't think it's going to be enough. #NR is a very complete team. With the whole Corey Pecker offense is going to score 40, and their defense is going to stop messing around. I think it's going to be a beatdown.
So just before we get into specifics, so on the screen, if you're looking, you have the current standings, and some of these haven't been updated because there are 3 games tonight that actually impact the entire middle section of the schedule, so we can't finish it. But just for purposes, so Braves and FPF All-Stars have the 1 and 2 seed and have byes. And then Les Banlieusards and 2HD also have byes in the Arsenal Bowl. In the YF Bowl right now, Junkyard Dogs holds the first bye, and then the second one we'll figure out later. We don't have anything for Paliche, Chenard, or the Banablocator Bowl just yet. In the Thompson Bowl, Trojans and McDo have buys, and then La Pierre Bowl, Bud Knights and Teen Stars have buys. So just to kind of point out, if you're one of those teams, you don't play, well, this week, or if you did, you don't play next week, you don't play the week after that, so your games are basically the week of the 22nd.
So I didn't hear Jean-Guy's name having a buy?
Jean-Guy are currently 35th. They will play this week.
Oh. Yeah, Shanky moved up. For sure they did. Best team in FPF.
Zero preparation.
None.
I just want to hear you say they moved up because undefeated Shanky.
Eagle, so what are your thoughts on #NR and Keyport Lockstars? So you're eating, so I'll give my thoughts first.
What's your thoughts?
Why would you ask
before and after the show?
What's your thoughts on Shanky? Are they going to win the bowl?
We're not talking about Shanky right now. I think #NR win this going away. I think this is Jeff Rosenblatt's worst game. I see like 3 or 4 interceptions in this game.
Oh, that's a lot.
It's
really
bad.
For him?
#NR's defense is legit. Okay. I know we talked about like it wasn't exactly there because of the plus minus. They're a type of defense that will give up plays because they're taking chances. When they take advantage of taking those chances, the games get ugly for the opposing offense.
I was going to say they've also played games without Corey Pecker or without being fully staffed from their main core and everything. Yeah. So they got blown out a couple times. So you take those games out of there and their plus minus is probably way higher.
It's for sure higher.
He says probably because he didn't do the research.
It's also for sure because if you take the losses out, it goes up. Congratulations.
Who's your pick?
I told you, an hour, but it's a blowout.
An hour.
How are you eating again?
We waited for you.
My sugar needs to be bumped.
That's true. It's been all the week. His blood sugar. If you cut his veins open,
it is diabetes.
It's not blood.
It's Skittles.
Taste the rainbow.
Lynch would be happy.
Taste the rainbow.
Number 4 STL takes on Conspiracy. STL.
This is a fun game.
Like. It is fun. The top end talent for STL is ridiculous. Dylan Taylor is not a perfect quarterback, but he's better than we give him credit for. Dan Lazaro.
I mean, he's a very good quarterback.
Yeah, I know, but like we always say, like it's, you know, Dylan is great, but and I think I think as time is passing, the butt is decreasing. on the other side, we have Tacos. Dan Lazaro, very refined quarterback, but a team that hasn't really gotten it all together all season long. They've been good. Just not finishing as high as we thought they could have. And so how do you think this game shakes up?
I think that it's going to be a what's a defense team. So STL and keep conspiracy are just going to play offense and it's going to matter on coverage. I think neither team's going to have an actual, if they get a stop, the other team's going to get a stop. Like it won't, defenses won't matter. I think it's going to come down to clock management and whoever gets that extra possession per half. Mm-hmm. That's something that SDL is very good at. They have a guy in Paul Lapierre that actually counts every second of the game. So that should help them. I actually believe that it's going to come down to whoever gets extra possession gets up by 3 points before the half. If SCL is able to have a few two-point converts, which I believe that that's their game plan, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Conspiracy, and that's when they'll make a mistake and end the game.
I think between STL and the Conspiracy, both quarterbacks can make mistakes and likely will, but I think the STL defense will bail out Dylan Taylor more than the Conspiracy defense will bail out Dan Lazaro. So I see this being, it'll end up being a two-score game at the end of it.
It's a fun matchup because Conspiracy has very, very good receivers, but STL also has very strong defenders.
I think Conspiracy wins.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You take tacos?
I take tacos. It's 5-4, but they feel like the favorite.
I agree. They feel like the favorite, but I'm still staying with STL. And Eagle doesn't pick because...
Eagle. I already picked STL.
Thank you. Oh. Number line, lightweight, that's never been spelled correctly by François Martin in any of the articles.
Really? I didn't ever notice.
Lightwigged.
Lightwig, nice.
The GH. Oh,
yeah. That's a French thing.
They take on Le'Veon La Vida Loca. If you don't win, you're losing to the team with the dumbest name.
I refuse.
Not only in the Arsenal Bowl, but in all of FPF history.
I refuse to say your team name.
LVL?
We're playing against the 14 seed.
Team 14?
Team 14.
So, first of all, who's rushing?
I honestly don't know. I will decide.
You're so unprepared that you don't even know what your team is doing.
No, I don't. It doesn't matter. We're playing against.
I think it does matter. I think it's the only position in the game that matters.
Who do you think is a better coach, Hugh Jackson or Simon Dagenais?
Hugh Jackson blindfolded.
Wow! And yeah. He just got fired from the NFL, so it's not that bad. I think that, well, there's a few guys on number 14 that I've played with before.
Nick So,
Alex Dabonte. But I don't
know where that hook's going first play.
Oh, for sure. But I don't think it's going to matter because our team right now is a little bit different than what we used to have. Like we're using the team lightweight. It's not the same lightweight as before. So we'll see how it goes. I'm actually not worried about playing them, and I'm pretty sure they're not worried about playing us either.
Are we getting good Simo or bad Simo?
Hopefully good Simo.
If it's good Simo, I don't think LVL stands a chance, to be honest. Because when you are... When you're playing your game and you're actually connecting with your deep ball, it's hard to defend.
I think it's just a matter of whoever scores first and puts the pressure on the other team. I think that number 14 has the potential to try to make a big play happen to catch up in the game, and that's when they're going to dig a deeper hole for themselves, whereas lightweight tends to make that mistake, but only in the second half.
I'm going to say that the big difference here is going to be if Simon decides to try and pick on Alexis Labonte on defense. If he stays away from him, then he's good. But most likely what's going to happen is that Labonte is going to know exactly where Simon doesn't like to throw and basically leave that side wide open and cheat on the other side, and Simon is going to be
throwing
right
into
him.
There's no such thing. That doesn't exist. That's not a real thing.
I'm going with Team 14.
14-14.
No, I said I'm going with Team 14.
Team 14, oh.
So not me.
Yeah, I think it's an upset. I think this is the
I'm patting myself in the back. I think we're gonna win.
Okay.
I never picked myself.
It really
be insulted.
I think it really depends on, because I think for, Team 14 is gonna have their game plan is pretty static every week. They come in, they do the exact same thing, and they're pretty good at executing it. Whereas with lightweight, you really don't know what you're gonna get. So odds are Team 14 is the better pick here.
Sure, we don't know what we're going to get. For the few weeks, the quarterback wasn't even there. We had a backup quarterback that called smileys in a huddle. It was a very confusing night.
All of the backup quarterbacks for lightweight are better than Simon Dagenais.
Yeah, it's an actual thing. Every time I have a backup, he's better than I am.
Yep.
Except that picks.
Yeah, but weirdly, yeah. Except that podcasting. That's a word.
That's fair. Hashtag Free Vinny. Sorry, no hashtag. Just Free Vinny. Take on Diablos. And how will Free Vinny dismantle Diablos?
I mean, so Diablos is good at winning at winning games when they win every single matchup and they're just better than the other team.
Yeah.
They're essentially a bully.
Yeah.
Right? I'm bigger, I'm faster, I'm better than you are. So we're just going to put up monster numbers and laugh in your face.
That's not the case here.
When that's not the case, they don't have an offense that's able to convert and try something new. They don't have different plays. They don't have a different scheme. They have the scheme. They run the same thing, but the guy won't be open. So we're going to see a lot of incompletes, a lot of poorly thrown balls into traffic that are going to turn into most likely interceptions because Freevini, as a lot of players in higher divisions, are not afraid of jumping routes and taking risks, which is not something you see often in lower divisions. A lot of guys, when you're playing Division 4 or 5, a lot of guys tend to play the tackle rather than the ball. When you're playing guys like Vinny Golano, Jordan Allard, they don't play the tackle. They actually don't care about the flags.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a big difference, and I think that that's going to be like a revelation for François Martin. He's going to have a poor game.
The way Diablos play is that their schemes are designed to beat a zone defense. And the moment you switch to a man defense, they beat you either purely on skill and talent or on schemes where they're going to try and basically run rub routes and you're not going to be able to keep up with your guy. I don't think Free Vinny are the team that they win those matchups. So if you play man, even if they're going to try and scheme and rub you, you're still going to get beef athletically. So yeah, it's not going to be the same type of game.
Like Georges Boyer, if you complain about me holding you, Vinny Golano is going to impregnate you this game.
Oh, yeah.
Vinny Golano somehow never gets flagged for holding.
Because there's an art to holding an FPF.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's a skill in holding the FPF.
Oh, yeah.
And knowing
he mastered
when to do it
a long time ago.
Yeah. It's how you play defense in FPF.
Yeah. And everybody on that team does it well.
Of course.
And they...
If you've played higher divisions, it's a skill you learn because it's how you defend.
But if you know it coming into this game, and it's frustrating for your receivers more than your quarterback. Like, as a quarterback, I don't mind it so much. I see it, and I scheme around it. But in your huddle, you're going to hear it a lot. When you start playing down and your receivers are complaining, they're holding me, you need to know how to react because it's just going to bring your moral down. Mm-hmm. They have a guy in Marc-André Lapointe on the team. That should be able to shake that off easily. Gab Wiseman also should be able to shake that off easily without any problems. If JF Dados plays for them, also a guy like that. I think Charles Véro might have an awakening in playing against a guy that's as fast as he is, and he will restrain him.
As he is,
He's going to be restrained, so he's going to have to go to different guys, and that's going to be the interesting part of this game.
I will say, I think Diablo, and I actually don't mean this as an insult, and it'll be taken that way. François Martin is a worse Simon Dagenais. But I don't mean it because you're not a bad quarterback. But he does a lot of the same things. He likes taking deep shots. He likes one-on-one battles. He likes putting the ball for his guys. And I think he's going to pay the price for it in this game.
He does it well on deep throws.
How are you eating again?
It's ego. It never stops.
So much candy.
He does it well on deep throws where he puts it far enough for his receiver to make a play on it, but not the DB. And that's usually when you say, oh, they're winning because they're faster. Right? It's a good route. It's a good throw, and it's a safe one. When the DB plays with a cushion and he knows it's coming, there's nothing the receiver can do.
Yeah.
Aside from being physical, but then you're going to get called on it.
In the LaPierre Bowl... Oh, sorry. Who do you pick? I pick Free Vinny. Free Vinny is all around. In the LaPierre Bowl, the 45... Team 45, Fresh Lungs take on Team 48, Amateur de Sac. What do we got?
I really wanted Amateur de Sac to get like a win or something, but I don't see it happening. They have a good defense. They're a good rusher, which is basically why they're called Amatari Sack, although it's a very nice pun. I just think their offense won't be able to keep up in the playoffs whatsoever.
Yeah, I think and Fresh Lungs in the red zone like throwing those corner routes, and teams that are just starting to learn how to play lanes. There's a way to play lanes where you could take away some deep reads in the back of the end zone, and guys using timing to pick one route and then jump to another route. They're not experienced enough to know how to handle it. I think Fresh Lungs are going to win this game huge.
I have to agree with you. I think this is a learning season for Amateur de Sac. I mean, some of them have played in the past. I mean, a lot of people, this is their first season or they played one game. So I think this is the season where you learn what you're good at and what you're not good at. And you try and figure out how you're going to go ahead and evolve as a team come winter season. Which, by the way, registration opens next week. So plan for that. But I don't see this being competitive.
No, we don't.
Llamas Pajamas.
Llamas Pajamas. Who do you pick?
I pick Fresh Lungs.
Oh, that's
by
right.
A lot. Llamas Pajamas, the 46, take on 47 Trailer Park Boys, and probably the best named game of.
I don't care. I'm going with Llamas Pajamas just because of the name. Also, their offense is actually decent. Like, it's not problematic the same way that Trailer Park Boys or Amatali Sak is. I think they're going to skate by. I don't think they're going to have. There's a potential for Llamas Pajamas to run the table in the playoffs if things go their way. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but I also think that this is the sort of matchup that really favors them. So I'm going to go with Llamas Pajamas in this one, and we'll see for the following week.
So a guy I've liked a lot has been Olivier Goddard, quarterback of Llamas Pajamas. The stats don't bear out, by the way. 348 yards passing, 9 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 9 sacks.
In 2 games?
No, in 7 games.
I know.
But they do use like a multiple quarterback thing. It's dumb. He's the best quarterback. Give him the snaps. They've affected their own growth by not letting him take all the snaps.
He needs the reps.
He throws the ball hard. He throws it well. He throws it pretty accurately. The biggest issue has been guys not being able to hold on to the ball. But I think that they're just going to continuously apply pressure, and it'll be too much for Trailer Park Boys to manage. Notably, the second game of the season, Trailer Park Boys had a comeback win over Llamas Pajamas 20-13. So, I mean,
it might be the exact same scenario. I think it's going to be Llamas Pajamas' offense is going to put up 3-4 touchdowns. They're going to go up.
So, and the opposite thing will happen.
Instead, they're going to be in the same hole, but they won't be able to make the comeback.
Sheesh.
So, the same situation, but without the comeback.
Look, this is the way I look at it. Trailer Park Boys went 1-5-2, right? Two ties. They have 138 points for, which is not a lot. Llamas Pajamas have 159 points for. That includes 60 points of a forfeit. So they really only put up not even 100 points in 7 games. That's not good. So I don't see Llamas scoring more than 2 scores. And I can see Trailer Park Boys putting up 2 plus a little bit. So it's going to be similar to the previous matchup. But I can see this being much more of like a 24-25-13 instead.
Give me Llamas.
Really?
Yeah. Given all that, give me Llamas.
I don't see it.
Because football will happen.
Yes.
Because FPF will happen.
Okay.
Llamas Pajamas, baby.
Final thoughts.
So just as a recap, so the other games will be finalized in, I think, 2 hours, 3 hours. So there's 3 games tonight. So those will finalize all the different standings. So tomorrow we'll be able to know exactly where the different matchups are. And using that, we'll finalize the schedule. So we'll be able to know exactly when you're playing, who you're playing against. And next week, we'll figure out what those matchups are for analysis purposes.
Final thoughts.
I just read the last part of the script, and it took me like 3 readings to figure out what you meant. And then I finally saw it. It's the commercial, right? The pizza TF.
Just wait for me to get there. Do your thing. What's your final thought?
That's my final thought. I just figured it out now.
Ruining the show is your final thought. Cool.
I mean,
final thoughts.
It goes with the 77 minutes of the show.
You're the reason 77 minutes, by the way.
So, Stefano, GM, Terry, thank you for filling in the previous weeks. If you'd like, we have a vacancy next week because Simon was fired.
Hard. Go ahead. This week, am I going for 1, going for 2? I will go for 2 with the help of Eagle, because Eagle, the playoff schedule is going to be posted. When will it be posted?
Likely tomorrow. I don't know exactly when, but we're going to get the final standing. So I would say by noon.
When's the first game?
All games are either Monday, November 12th or Thursday, November 15th.
So no need to worry. There's no games this weekend. Nobody's going to freak out. Nobody's playing Sunday or Monday.
It's a full bye week for everyone.
So you got time. It doesn't matter if the schedule comes out Saturday instead of Friday. Everybody's got time.
Yeah. And as a general rule, if you're in the first 4 bowls, your game is most likely Monday. If you were in the last 4 bowls, your game is most likely Thursday. I think there's an exception for either 4 or 5. I can't remember what. So that's most likely when your games are going to be. Again, we've already posted the schedule, sent it to the captain of the framework one. So we'll have the actual matchups on the website probably tomorrow.
Oh, great sound.
Professionalism at its finest.
My virus and protection scanner finished. And it decided to alert me, even though I turned off the sound.
How's your virus?
Did it remind you to wear condoms?
How's your viruses?
They're great. I don't have polio. Get vaccinated.
Get vaccinated. Correct. So thank you for that. I love that one part of my going for 2 is I just told Eagle to do it for me. It's basically my FPF career. My second thing is pizza. The hell are we doing? It's round. It's in a square box. We cut into triangles. Any other geometric shapes you'd like to introduce?
But then
hexagons.
But that would be awesome. Can we put a square pizza in a round box?
If the round box is big enough, yes.
It's sort of a waste.
It's a waste anyway.
It's a waste anyways.
We need the Dini saw. You remember that?
Or just put a
round. It was two square pizzas in a giant rectangular box.
Or just put a square pizza in a square box and cut them in squares.
Yeah. The Nisaurus, huh?
We don't need to use circles and triangles.
Correct.
What's wrong with production today?
It just stopped. I don't know why.
Well, thank you, Simo.
It just crashed.
Thank you, Eagle, for also ruining this show. Thank you all for watching this ruined show. But most of all, thank you all for letting me be myself.
So
it's not his fault, the music just crashed.
I know you're probably going to make the joke about it, but have you thought about 3D pizza? Like the pizza in the shape of a cube.
All pizza's 3D.
I know, but it's not.
It's a sheet of paper.
Because it exists through time.
No, but like imagine like a spherical pizza or like a cylinder pizza.
But then what happens
if... So you're just stacking pizza up in like a tower?
No, almost like a calzone, but
in different shapes.
It's like a cube or a sphere of sauce.
So the dough is on the outside.
No, like, the sauce is on the inside. The dough is on the outside. And then you just surround that with cheese.
How are you sucking even at the end?
Wait, is this a pizza pocket?
I have a question.